I know the kids are all coming up for a story because that's what we normally do, but we didn't have one planned for today. Sorry. Oh, you have one? Roger, all right, come up here, and Roger has one. He's our minute man today.
When I was, I was probably 8 or 9 years old. How old are you? 10? You? 11? Oh, sorry, that's Pastor Hesso. At least six. Yeah, I was probably 8 or 9, maybe even 10. But I was kind of a, what my neighbors would call me, a wild child. Just kind of, they call you that too? Kind of all over the place, up on things. And one of my favorite things that I liked to do when I was younger, I'd like to crawl up on the roof and gaze out over all the houses and all that stuff. And so that was kind of a hiding place. We had a big apricot tree. You know what an apricot is? Yeah, good fruit. We had an apricot tree that was right next to the house there. I could climb up there on the roof and just kind of pick apricots from the top of the tree. And so I like to hang out on top of the roof. Well, my mother works for the Loma Linda University Medical Center, and she's a purchasing agent. And being a purchasing agent, sometimes when she makes purchases for the medical center, she has to talk to sales reps. And these sales reps will sometimes give them gifts, such as pins or little pocket knives or things like this. Well, this time, somebody gave her an umbrella. And you may say, what's so great about this umbrella? This umbrella was huge. Huge. I mean, when you opened it up, it was big. And I would open that thing up, and let me play with it, you know, and I would run down the street with it, you know, and it'd kind of catch air, you know, and wind would blow, I kind of push it into the air. And I had a lot of fun with this umbrella. It was black and green and white. It was big umbrella. All of a sudden, I got this idea. You know what my idea was? Yes, that's exactly what I thought. I thought, this thing ought to be big enough that I ought to be able to parachute with it. So I climbed up on the top of our roof with the big umbrella, and I opened that umbrella. I got to the peak of the roof, and my theory was that I would run down the roof as fast as I can, jump off, and hold onto that umbrella, and I would just float nicely to the ground. Well, anyways, I got to the peak of the roof, and I put that, kind of had it close. I wanted to get as much speed as I can because I wanted to get as high and as far off the roof as I possibly could. And I sprinted down the top of that roof, and as soon as I jumped off, I opened up the umbrella and I held onto it and I floated nicely to the ground. What do you think? No, I went crashing to the ground. Boom, boom, and I think I sprained my ankle. I looked around, nobody was looking, and I didn't want to tell Mom and Dad what just happened. But theory didn't work at that time. So I learned a valuable lesson. Don't trust an umbrella to jump off a roof, number one. But my illustration is this, that sometimes we make mistakes. We think things are going to work, but they may not. And we can try hard to try to accomplish a task, and we may fail at it. But I know a promise in the Bible that God loves his children even when they make mistakes. And sometimes he has to protect us from our own mistakes. I think I could have got really hurt by jumping off a roof. And I didn't. You know, I just twisted my ankle a little bit. So I praise God for that. God can use, yeah, he did save me, didn't he? God can use a bad situation and turn it into a good one. God watches over us when we make mistakes. Amen? And so I hope that today that you will learn a valuable lesson. One is, don't jump off a roof. Don't use the umbrella to think that it's going to help you float to the ground. But remember this, that wherever you go, whatever you do in life, God is always there with you, and he will keep you safe under his hand of providence. Okay? Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the children that are here today. I thank you that you love them and that you died on the cross of Calvary for them. I ask that you would strengthen them and encourage them day by day as they grow up to be young Christians that would follow you and serve you. We ask that you would guide their steps and protect them from the evil one. We thank you, Lord, for their love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
How deep the Father's love for us,
How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Well, good morning. It is morning still, yes. Good morning to each of you, and I'm glad that you're all out here today. We have a wonderful topic and an important one, modern prophets. We need to take a look at modern prophets today. Are there modern prophets in the world? And all the stuff that's going on in the world today as far as false teachings and so forth, we need to be careful and keep our eye out for false teachings that do not uphold the standards of God's word, as we've been talking night by night. So today we're going to be looking at modern prophets, false prophets, and true prophets, and so forth. But before we do that, I'd like to introduce you to my family. Can I do that? This is my family. This is my wife over here. That's Heidi with a Y, H-E-I-D-Y. We've been married since 1993. So you do the calculations. It's August 15, 1993. And she's been my backbone for many years to support me in the ministry and to go where God would have us to go. This is my oldest daughter, Michaela. She'd probably be upset that I put that picture in there. This was an old family picture from last year. Since then, she's had her braces taken off. She's had her hair cut. It looks completely different. She's 13. That teenage look, or that childish look isn't there anymore. She's much more like a teenager. This is my other daughter, Megan. I did say this is Michaela. This is Megan, my middle. And she was our Sabbath baby. And she came to us on a Sabbath evening and in Watertown, New York. And then, of course, my son, Ethan. Ethan is full of energy, just has a lot of gusto and likes to play and have a good time. Michaela is 13. Megan is going to be 11, October 1st here. And my son is 8 years old. So pray for me that God would give me wisdom. And especially now that I have teenagers running around my house, I remember when I was a teenager, and that's a scary thing. So I don't know, maybe God somehow will bless me, or he's paying me back, one of the two, I don't know. All right, so let's get into our message and our topic today. I'm going to have a hard time standing in front of this, so I will try to just keep speaking loud And may the Lord bless our hearing today so that we can hear clearly. Amen? Okay, so let's get right into the message today. Modern prophets. Friends, as we've been going night by night, the devil always has a counterfeit to God's true. We noted that in the commandments. We've noted that in the church. We've noted that in many areas about your body, what happens when you die, different things like this. The devil always has a counterfeit to God's true. The second thing we want to look at today also, does God have the work of prophets in the latter days? Will there be the work of prophets in the latter days? And so we want to look at these things because we know as the day progresses and as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus, we know that the devil is going to do what? He's going to counterfeit even more the works of God by doing miracles. And so we have to question these miracles and uphold them by the standard of God's word, not by what we feel, what we think, or what we hear. What does God's word teach us? Amen? So let's continue here today. Does the Bible teach that there will be true prophets in the last days? Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17 is a quote from Joel chapter 2, verse 28. So we're quoting two verses in the same place, utilizing the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Notice what the Bible says here. It shall come to pass where? In the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I believe this to be a twofold prophecy. One is that in the day of Pentecost, God poured out his spirit for the day of refreshing to get the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the world. God always works as he has worked in the past. History typically repeats itself, doesn't it? God works in the same process. In the last days, God will have people, sons and daughters, that shall prophesy. Young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. As we approach the last days, friends, we want to know whether these things are true or whether they're not, whether they're a counterfeit. So we want to look to God's word. Amen? God's word is the standard of faith. God's word is the foundation by which we hold all truth and test things by the word of God. Gifts in the church. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 and 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7 and 11. Galatians and then Ephesians. Galatians and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 7 and 11. Ephesians 4, verse 7. Notice what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4. But every one of you is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Notice that God has given gifts to his church, to his people. And then we read down in verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some what? Prophets and, I lost my place, gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Notice that in the last days, God will still uphold the lineage, if you will, of prophecy. He will have evangelists. He will have teachers. He will have preachers and ministers up until the last days. Amen? So let's continue here. Notice the gifts in the church. There are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So God will have these things up until his coming. For what purpose are they given? Notice Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. What is the purpose of these gifts? What is the purpose? Notice here. For the perfecting of who? Perfecting of who? The saints. Who are the saints, friends? God's what? God's church, God's people. So what is the purpose? Let me go back here. What is the purpose of apostles? What is the purpose of prophets? What is the purpose of evangelists, pastors, and teachers? It is for the purpose of perfecting the saints for the work of what? Ministry. So these things are introduced into the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of who? The body of Christ. So these five things, their purpose and their intent is for the ministry and the work of the church. Amen? God has given these ministries. Why? Because his church needs to be an organized ministry. Amen? It cannot be scattered all over the place. And the question that we looked at last night is, and we have all these denominations, we have things all over the world, how can God unify his church if we're all over the place? He says, in one body, unity, and so forth. And so God has given these gifts to the church for the perfecting, for the unification of his body. Till we come in what? The unity of what? The unity of faith. What did we just read in Ephesians last night? One faith, one baptism, one Lord, one God, one Savior. One, he says. So the perfecting of the saints is to bring, or for these ministries are to bring people in the unity of faith. And what is faith? Yes, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Without him, we do not have salvation. But faith also includes obedience to the requirements of his laws and the truth of his word. So pastors, teachers, ministers, prophets, and so forth, they will lead God's saints, God's people, back to the word of God. Amen? They will do this. Notice this. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. What is the purpose for these gifts? To uplift Jesus Christ. Amen? To uplift, to build up the body of Christ, to come to a closer walk with Jesus Christ. How many of you want a closer walk with Jesus? You see, friends, the purpose why we gather together to unify ourselves under a house, under a place of worship, is so that we can encourage one another to walk in Jesus Christ. We heard this morning of people that are struggling with diseases. We want to pray for them. We want to encourage them and uplift them in Jesus Christ. Friends, it is to unify the body of believers in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is why these gifts were given to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We continue on. Notice what the Bible says regarding 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. What does the Bible teach here? Despise not what? Despise not prophesying. So if you have somebody out there who's claimed to be a prophet who is prophesying, he says, don't reject them off the bat just because they're preaching or prophesying on behalf of God. Notice what he says. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. In other words, listen to them, but hold to the word of God. So we've got to test them by the word of God. For 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, notice what the word of God says. Believe in the Lord your God, so you shall be what? You shall be established. In other words, believe in the Lord your God, you will be established. In other words, again, we see another principle here. God will establish us in the foundations of his truth, his word, his church, his message, and all that stuff. He will also bring us to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, establishing a relationship with our Lord and Savior. Salvation is dependent only upon Christ. We've got to reiterate that over and over again. It continues on, but believe his prophets, show you, so shall you what? So shall you prosper. What will you do? You will prosper if you listen to the prophets of God. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing. What will he do? He will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants who? The prophets. God does nothing unless he gives revelation to his prophets. Thus we have the Bible, friends, filled with prophets. You know, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, you know, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Powerful, full of information about the glory of God. If you look in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel has a vision of the throne room of heaven. He sees God in all his glory, friends. We want to get a picture of, we want to see Jesus, we want to see God. Friends, go to the book of Ezekiel. Amen? Malachi gives us an example of how to live for God and how to organize our life according to that. He says, give your tithes and your offerings and you will prosper. You know, he gives us lessons about how to do good and what is right in the presence of God. These prophets throughout the Old Testament, of course, we have Daniel and we have the Revelator, but there's many prophets throughout Scripture that uphold. Moses, friends, was a prophet of God, the humblest man on earth. He gave us Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We call that the books of Moses. The book of Genesis itself is power-packed, full of information for our salvation. After all, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after the fall of man, Moses prophesied of one who would come, Jesus Christ, who would crush the serpent's head under his foot. Amen? So Moses and the prophets uplifted Jesus. We see that throughout the entirety of Scripture. We've got to listen to the prophets of God, not just portions of Scripture, but the entirety of Scripture. And notice it says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Is the gift of prophecy limited to just men? Well, let's look at these verses today in Luke chapter 22, verse 36 and 38 and 37. And there was one Anna, a what? a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed from not from the temple, but served God with what? Fastings, prayers, and day and night. Friends, even in the time of Christ, there were prophets of God. Amen? In the time of Jesus, there were prophets of God. In Acts chapter 21, verse 8 and 9, and the next day that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist. Philip who? The evangelist. Notice this function of operation, these gifts were alive in the church during the time of the apostles, which was one of the seven and abode with him. And the same man had four what? Daughters, virgins, which did what? They prophesied. What did they do? They prophesied. We continue here tonight. Miriam, you all know Miriam, right? Moses' sister, Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. After the victory, after they came across the Red Sea, Miriam led out in the worship. Miriam led out in the victory chant to God. Amen. And notice here that these dances were with just women. Anyways, that's another topic. Deborah, Judges chapter 4 and verse 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of liposuction. What is that? Lapidoth. She judged Israel at the time. Hold up. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 14. So Hilkiah, the priest of Achan. I have such a hard time. Okay. See all those names there? Huldah, then the prophetess. There it is. Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tifka, the son of Harus, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. Where did she dwell? In a college place. Isn't that amazing? A group, a gathering of people. God had his prophets. From what source do prophets obtain their information? What source do prophets obtain their information? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but what? What does it say there? Holy men of God spake as they were what? Moved by who? The Holy Ghost. Notice what it says here. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Friends, I want to give you a challenge here today. God's Spirit was given to the Old Testament prophets. God inspired them to write the Word of God. Friends, the inspiration, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has been working with all men since the day of creation. Amen? And so God says here, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So they were inspired by the Spirit of heaven. God speaks through his prophet in three different ways. Let's look at Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8. Numbers chapter 12, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. The Bible reads, Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. He said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a what? In a vision. And then it says here in verse 6, I will make myself known to a vision, and I will speak unto him in a what? In a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in my house. With him I will speak what? Mouth to mouth or face to face. Even apparently and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? How does God speak to his prophets? Three different ways: visions, dreams, and face to face. We continue on here tonight. Physical evidence of a true prophet. Let's look at Daniel chapter 10. We're going to spend a majority of our time in the next few slides here, just in the book of Daniel chapter 10. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to start with verse 8. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 8. Daniel chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 8. Notice this. Sometimes they lose physical strength. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 8, the Bible reads, therefore I was left alone and saw a great vision, and there remained in me no what? There remained in me no strength. And it says, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. they received supernatural strength. Daniel chapter 10, verses 18 and 19. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he did what? He strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast done what? Strengthened me. We continue on. No breath in the body. Daniel chapter 10, verse 17. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, strength, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there what? Breath in me. Sometimes the prophets of God don't breathe. Not able to speak. Daniel chapter 10, 15 through 16, the Bible reads. And when he had spoken such words, I set my face toward the ground, and I became what? He says he became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips and opened my mouth and spake and said unto him, stood before me, O Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I retained no strength. So again, sometimes they lose their ability to speak. Are not aware of earthly surroundings. Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. Then I lift up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, and his face of appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms as feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of the multitude. Verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled and hid themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and I saw the great vision, and there remained no strength within me. A verse that I forgot to put in here was when Paul came in contact with Jesus as he was on the road to Damascus. Remember, he saw nothing but light, and everybody else was blinded. He only saw the presence of the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians also, chapter 12, verses 2 and 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 through 4, not familiar with earthly surroundings. Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. 2nd Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. Paul is speaking of a man that he came in contact with in verses 2 verse through 4 of 2nd Corinthians 12. He says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. Only God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. We're going to explain this in greater detail in a coming night. One caught up into the third heaven. And verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. So there was a man who saw glorious things that he did not see the surroundings of earth. The eyes may remain open. And Numbers chapter 24 and verse 4, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 24 and verse 4. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 4. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 4. He has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a what? Into a trance, but having his eyes open. All right? So it's almost, you know, it's just a state of, I'm trying to think of the word. What's the word I'm looking for there? What's that? No, okay, it'll come to me. His eyes were open in a trance. Never mind, let's continue. Anyways, you catch the verse there. His eyes remained open as if he was in a trance, staring up into heaven. Is working great miracles proof of a true prophet? Notice Revelation chapter 16, verse 14. They are spirits of what? Devils working what? Miracles. So friends, there are people out there who can maybe do miracles, but that doesn't mean it's from God. Because they proclaim something from God doesn't necessarily mean they're from God. We always have to go back to the Word of God. What is Christ's end time warning? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24. For there shall arise what? What shall arise? False Christ and false what? What's going to arise when? For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, that show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the who? The very elect. So the down towards the close of Earth's history, we've been talking about this, will deceive, if possible, the very elect. Down towards the close of Earth's history, there's going to arise false Christs and false what? Prophets. If there's false prophets, it's probably true that they're going to be true prophets. We just read that in Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2. We continue on here. True prophet versus a false. Notice this. This is the standard by which we challenge or test prophets. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. A prophet of God will point people back to the word of God. Amen? A prophet will uphold the Bible and the Bible alone. John the Baptist was a good example. Moses, a good example. Elijah is an example. Choose today whom you will serve. The word of God was the standard. It was the test for the people of the time. Always coming back to the word of God. Always coming back to the word of God. What are the biblical qualifications of a true prophet? Must be called to service by God. Confess Jesus Christ. Live a godly life. Will have visions and dreams. Speak and write in harmony with the Bible. Predict events that will come true. So let's look at these verses today. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, the true prophet will be called to service by God. Notice Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before I formed thee where? In the belly I knew thee. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be what? A prophet unto the nations. God must call the prophet. We are not self-proclaimed prophets. God must do the calling. Amen? That's the first qualification. The second is that they must confess Jesus Christ as Lord. What must they do? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but do what? Try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone where? Into the world. If there's false, there must be true. Many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby we know that the spirit of that. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of what? Is of God. In other words, friends, they will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their own lives. They will live a godly life. Matthew chapter 7, 15 through 16. Beware of false prophets which come to you in what? Sheep's clothing. Inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their what? You shall know them by their fruits. I am called by God. Why don't you support my ministry and give me some money? You ever heard that before? You know? You know, and then the people that, they drink some Kool-Aid and they go and kill themselves, you know. They're going to know them by their fruits, God is saying. They will uplift and uphold the standard of God's word. They will live a godly life. A true prophet will have visions and dreams. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6. He said, hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a what? A vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. Dreams are different. Dreams are when we sleep. Visions are when they are awake. Just as we looked in Numbers, their eyes were open. They were as if they were in a trance. We continue on. They will speak and write in harmony with who? With what? The Bible. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Have the prophets of old held to the standard of God's word? When you compare scripture with scripture, we find a harmony that is like no other book in the universe. Amen? I mean, you can look at the book of John. The book of John, the Gospel of John, will quote verses from the Old Testament. John the Revelator takes over half of the verses from the Old Testament to understand the book of Revelation. Paul in Hebrews and Ephesians writes of Old Testament scripture. He exemplifies upon them. Peter stood up before the audience of the Jewish nation and proclaimed the Old Testament truths to tell the world that Jesus was the Messiah who came and died for us on the cross. So that without a doubt, they would not misunderstand, or they, with all the proof and information, they can know that Jesus is the true Messiah, that they didn't have to look for another one. So the scripture always, always, compared with itself, will always reveal the truth. The true prophet will predict events that will come true. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Remember when 2000 came? That was what, 10 years ago? Approximately? Y'all awake today? Some of you are kind of, oh. 2000, I received this big packet in the mail, and it was probably about that thick, and this guy proclaimed to be a prophet, and he prophesied that Jesus was going to come in the year 2000. He had maps and examples and everything like this, that Jesus would come in the year 2000. I looked at that thing, took 5 minutes, and chucked it in the trash can, you know? And on the back, he had a solid warning, if you reject this, you know, you're going to not see Jesus and all this stuff. And friends, what did I learn by that experience? That guy was not a true prophet, right? He predicts events, they must come to pass. Amen? Amen? So we have people that are proclaiming and predicting events that do not come true. So the biblical qualifications of a true prophet, they must be called to service by God, they must confess Jesus Christ, they must live a godly life, they will have visions and dreams, they will speak and write in harmony with the Bible, they will predict events that will come true. A false prophet, notice what God says in regards to false prophets, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you anyone that does what? Makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto who? They're abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. God says, anybody that has any connection with these false things, they are an abomination to me. Amen? So friends, we don't need to go to our little horoscope. God says that's an abomination. We don't need to go to psychics or palm readers. God says that's an abomination. We don't need to listen to these crazy people on TV, you know. The psychics call 1-800-PSYCHIC and he will tell you your future. And they said, before we can start telling your future, please give me your credit card. Well, if you're a psychic, you probably already know my credit card number. Why do I need to give it to you, type thing, you know? And then they hang up on you. You know what I'm saying? So friends, we don't need those things. God says they are an abomination to God, right? So get away from that stuff. They are not of God, they are of the enemy. We continue on here. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. The Bible says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, and sorcerers, the adulterer, and all liars, false prophets, shall have their part in the lake of fire which burn with fire, brimstone, which is the second death. Is the second death good or bad according to our lesson the other night? It's bad. We don't want a part in the second, because the second death, there is absolutely no hope. But if we die today, if we're found in Christ and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Jesus will resurrect us. He'll say, wake up, Roger, or whatever your name is, and we will come to life. Amen? So he says, those that practice these things will have their place in the lake of fire. Types of false prophets again. Charmers or enchanter. One who casts spells or uses charms. An observer of times, we call those astrologers. Sorcerer or necromancer, one who claims to contact the spirits of the dead. Consulter with familiar spirits, we would call a medium or a channeler. User of divination, a fortune teller. A witch, a female psychic. A wizard is a male psychic. God says, have nothing, friends, nothing to do with these, because they are an abomination to the word of God and to God himself. Amen? They are abomination. However, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not. What is prophesying for here? For them that don't believe, but for those what? Which do believe. We go back to the apostles, the teachers, the prophets, and so forth in the church. The purpose of those things are for the edifying of the church. Amen? We don't send out, you know, passages banging on doors and come follow me. Friends, it's for the unity and the perfecting of the saints of God. The purpose for these things, friends, is not for the unbelievers, but for the believers of God. So those who do not necessarily accept Jesus Christ and have the faith and testimony of Jesus, what's the purpose of prophesying if they don't believe in the first place? See, there's foundations by which we exemplify, or we have in the church or in God's people before God gives prophecy. First, we have to believe in him. Amen? We have to have faith in him. We have to trust in him. We have to depend on him. Then God gives us those things. For what purpose? For unity, for edification, to bring the body into unity with one another. And notice what we read in Hebrews. As we see the day approaching, we need to gather ourselves together and hear, friends, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. We continue on tonight. God's end time church has many gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Read through those in Ephesians chapter 4. We continue on. God's end time church will have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 17. Revelation 12 and verse 17. Notice what the Word of God says here. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. The dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have what? What does it say there? Have the testimony of who? Jesus Christ. Now turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 19, and looking at verse 10, the Bible reads, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." Notice the dragon was wroth to those that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony. And notice what he says here. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. The spirit of what? Prophecy. Friends, the prophetic work will continue throughout the time until Jesus comes again. It will be a part of God's church. I believe this is a twofold. One is that the prophecies of the books of Daniel and Revelation will be important in the last day church. But also, too, the work of prophecy through the prophetic institution that God established from day one to communicate to his God people will also be evident in God's remnant church. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Now, I want to show you something fascinating here that I've noted throughout Scripture. Call this the prophetic chart. When Abraham, God gave Abraham a prophecy. He said, 400 years, the children of Israel will be in Egypt. How long? 400 years. At the end of the 400 years, God brought Moses, and Moses began to do what? Challenge Pharaoh and to prepare the children of Israel to leave out of bondage under Egypt because the time had come. What are we noting here? God gives a time prophecy, but at the culmin or at the beginning of the time prophecy, God will prophesy. At the end of the time prophecy, God raises up a prophet to say that this prophecy or this time prophecy has come to a fulfillment. Thus, the 400 years, Abraham, Moses came along, and he said it's time to get ready to go. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah prophesied that 70 years would be determined upon the children of Israel, where they would be taken captivity under the yoke of Babylon. Well, at the culmination, in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel says, I was studying by reason of books, and I noticed that the 70 years have come to a fulfillment. Daniel proclaimed and prophesied, the end of the 70 years is here. It's time to move on. And no wonder Daniel was sick to his stomach, because he had the prophecy of the 70 years here, but then God gave him another prophecy of 2,300 days or 2,300 years. He was sick to his stomach. He said, God, I thought at the end of these 7 years we'd be truly delivered. But God says, no, we have to wait till the end of time. No wonder Daniel was sick to his stomach. You see that? Then we continue. The 70 weeks unto the Messiah. Notice in Daniel chapter 9, there was the 70-week time prophecy. At the fulfillment of the 70 weeks, John the Baptist rose up and he says, the time is at hand. There is coming a man that I'm not even worthy to unlatch his sandals. Amen. So John the Baptist prophesied at the fulfillment of the 70 years or the 70 weeks determined upon the Messiah. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness and he came back out and he says, the time is at hand. Why was he able to say that? Because the prophecies concerning himself have come to a fulfillment, and Jesus came back and said, the time is at hand. I am the Messiah, a great announcement. But also too, in Daniel chapter 8, verse 14, in Daniel chapter 8, 14, Daniel prophesied of the 2,300 days. At the fulfillment of those 2,300 days, a man by the name of William Miller gave them word of message that Jesus is about ready to come again. Every time God gave a time prophecy, he raised somebody up to proclaim the fulfillment of that time prophecy. The 2,300 days by Daniel, William Miller preached the message of the second coming of Jesus. Enoch preached in Genesis chapter 5, 21 and 24. Verse 14, he preached that the second coming of Jesus is at hand, and we need to get ready. Jesus follows the outline of Scripture. He gives a prophet to give the message, and he says when the message is at fulfillment, God raises up a prophet to proclaim the time is at hand. Friends, I believe God has held suit with the Scriptures, with the outline of Scriptures, and God has sent a prophet to the Last Day Church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I believe that God has utilized the teachings, the writings, and the inspiration of Ellen G. White for the last days. Let's see if this follows suit. Ellen White was born in 1827, died in 1915. She gave much counsel and direction to the Church of God as they were coming forth. In 1844, there was a missionary effort of a movement of people that were proclaiming the second coming of Christ. Enoch prophesied of the coming of Jesus. The time is at hand. Jesus is about ready to come. Did God utilize a workman, a person in the latter days to help to educate the Church of God? Let's see. In AD 1844, when earth entered its last judgment hour and God began calling his remnant people back to his law and the Sabbath, God also restored the gift of prophecy to the young woman named Ellen Harmon White. Along with several other prominent leaders, Ellen was used to help start and guide God's remnant church. Friends, this was an explosion of spiritual life, and God was directing a people into truth. And yes, God needed to raise somebody up to point them and continue them in the right direction. In the 1800s, there was a religious awakening. In 1805 to 1844, there was a man by the name of Joseph Smith, a proclaimed prophet who was the founder of the Mormon Church. 1800s. 1859, Charles Darwin, The Origin of Species. In 1870, Charles Taze Russell, editorial Zion's Watchtower and Herald of Christ's Presence to Jehovah's Witness, came to life. All in the 1800s, this is called the religious awakening. Could it be, friends, that the devil himself even knew that the time of the fulfillment of the 2300 days was at hand, and that Jesus was about ready to come according to the prophecies of Daniel, and we need to get ready? And then the devil has always counterfeited what? God's truth. Could it be, friends, that the devil gave us the origin of species to challenge the validity of the Word of God when it was most important, needed for the education of God's people? Could it be that the devil utilized false prophets to say, come follow us, we have the right light? Could it be to challenge the truth of God's Word in the latter days? Friends, it was during the 1800s that this explosion came up, and also the Advent people came up at this time as well. The remnant people popped into life. Ellen G. White and the biblical qualifications of a true prophet: to be called to service by God, to confess Jesus Christ, live a godly life, will have visions and dreams, speak and write in harmony with the Bible, predict events that will come true. To be called to service by God in AD 1844, when the earth entered its last judgment hour, God began calling his remnant people back to his law on the Sabbath. God also restored the gift of prophecy through the young woman named Ellen Harmon White. What about confessing Jesus Christ? Notice this, the desire of ages. Under inspiration, I believe with all my heart, she wrote this book. It says, I am the resurrection of life, and Christ is life, original, unborrowed, underived. He that has the Son hath life. Notice what she comments here about those scriptures. The divinity of Christ is the believers of assurance of eternal life. She uplifted Jesus Christ. Live a godly life. She died in 1915. The St. Helena Star wrote of her life. The life of Mrs. White is an example worthy of emulation by all. She was a humble, devout disciple of Christ, ever went about doing good, honored and respected by all who appreciate noble womanhood, consecrated to unselfish labor for the uplifting and betterment of who? Mankind. We'll have visions and dreams. From age 17 until she died 70 years later, God gave Ellen approximately 2,000 visions and dreams. They lasted from a few minutes to several hours, and they meet the Bible standard for visions. Speak and write in harmony with the Bible. I love this. This is some of her most powerful stuff. As an educating power, the Bible is of more value than the writings of all philosophers of all ages. It is its wide range of style and subjects. There is something to interest and instruct every mind, to ennoble every interest. The light of revelation shines undimmed into the distant past, where human annals cast not a ray of light. There is poetry which has called forth wonder and admiration of the world, in glowing beauty and sublime and solemn majesty and touching pathos. It is unequaled by the most brilliant productions of human genius. There is sound logic and impassioned eloquence. There are portrayed the noble deeds of noble men, examples of private virtue, of public honor, lessons of piety and purity. There is nothing, I love this, powerful. There is nothing more calculated to energize the mind and strengthen the intellect than the study of the Word of God. No other book is so potent to elevate the thoughts, to give vigor to the faculties as the broad, ennobling truths of the Bible. If God's Word were studied as it should be, men would have a breadth of mind, a nobility of character, a stability of purpose that are rarely seen in these times. The search for the truth will reward the seeker. At every turn, and each discovery will open the richer fields to the investigation, a call to stand apart. Authority of Scripture, page 69. There is something diverse and different with the Joseph Smith. As the Bible is interpreted correctly by Joseph Smith, that's our standard. The Watchtower says only Jehovah, Jehovah we can speak of, but the Bible talks about Jesus. Friends, we have to be careful. The origin species does not point us back to God, but it takes us back to a swamp somewhere billions and billions of years ago. A prophet will lead God's people back to the Word of God. Predict events that will come true. Ellen wrote on current events, health and science, education, and other subjects. In 1904, she wrote, soon great trouble will arise among the nations. Trouble that will not cease until Jesus comes. Review and Herald, February 11, 1904. Shortly thereafter, the world's fiercest wars begin. She warned in 1902 that San Francisco and Oakland, California would be visited with judgments and destruction because they were becoming more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah. On April 18, 1906, the great San Francisco earthquake rocked the Bay Area just 2 years later. Modern science is still learning that Ellen White was light years ahead with insights on health. During a time when physicians prescribed tobacco smoke for people with emphysema, Ellen White counseled in 1886, tobacco is a slow, insidious, but most malignant poison. It wasn't until 1957 that the American Cancer Society and the American Heart Association smoking was a cause for lung cancer. News commentators, professors, doctors, and others often quote her as authority who is ahead of her time on many topics. Concerning end times events, through the two great errors, notice she says here, we've been talking about this from the Bible and the Bible only, through the two great errors, the immortality of the soul, Sunday sacredness, Satan will bring the people under his deceptions. While the former lays the foundation of spiritualism, the latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the gulf to grasp the hands of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp the hands of the Roman power. And under the influence of the threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome and trampling on the rights of conscience. We found this to be true in Revelation 12, Revelation 13, Revelation 14. We've been talking about this night by night. Papists, Protestants, and worldlings alike will accept the form of godliness without the power. They will see in this union a grand movement for the conversion of the world and ushering in the long-expected millennium. When our nation, the United States, shall so adjure the principles of its government to enact a Sunday law, Protestantism will in this act join hands with popery. It will be nothing else than giving life to the tyranny which has long been eagerly watching its opportunity to spring again into active despotism. Friends, to the standard of God's Word. We've been talking about this night by night. Didn't even look at her writings. Ellen G. White's writings. She had Conflict of the Ages, the Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophecy and Kings, Desire of Ages, Acts of the Apostles, the Great Controversy. She wrote a book called Steps to Christ, leading people back to a relationship with Jesus. Education, proper education in the home and in our school system. Testimonies to Ministers, Testimonies to the Churches, Volume 1 through 9. Ellen G. White became one of the most prolific women writers. Her books, read worldwide, give inspired counsel on health, education, temperance, the Christian home, parenting, publishing and writing, assisting the needy, stewardship, evangelism, Christian living, and more. Her book, Education, is considered an authority in its field. It had been used by secular universities as a textbook. It is so perceptive and relevant that it was once plagiarized by a minister of education of a certain nation who published it under his own name. Dr. Florence Stratemeyer, a former professor of education at Columbia University, said the book contained advanced educational concepts and was more than 50 years ahead of its time. Dr. Clive McKay, former professor of nutrition at Cornell University, just down the road here, said of her writings on health, in spite of the fact that the works of Mrs. White were written long before the advent of modern scientific nutrition, no better overall guide is available today. newscaster Paul Harvey said, she wrote with such profound understanding on the subject of nutrition that all but two of the many principles she espoused has been scientifically established. Her book, The Desire of Ages on the Life of Christ, has been labeled an English masterpiece by Stationers Hall in London. Ellen G. White is said to be the fourth most translated writer of all time. Her book on Christian living, Steps to Christ, has been translated into more than 150 languages. Are Mrs. White's writings substitutes to the Bible? No, Mrs. White taught we should get our doctrines from Scripture. As God's messenger, her role was to instruct, to build upon the work of God, and reprove the church when it tended to stray. It was never to overrule or contradict the Bible. How can I accept the writings of Ellen White? How can I accept her prophets? Well, friends, you can't really do that unless you first begin to challenge and read the writings of Mrs. White. Notice what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 20 and 21 says. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Friends, I think that we have looked night by night, identifying false teachings that have crept into the church. We have looked at a false church that has risen. Every time God has a true, the devil has a counterfeit. Y'all are moving around like it's time to go or something. We got a long time. This is just one slide to pause here, all right? So just settle down. Open back up your Bibles and relax. The food will be there when we're done, all that type of thing. God has always had a true. The devil will always counterfeit. If God has called a remnant people to stand in these last days, to uphold the standard of his word, wouldn't it be true that God would still incorporate and keep alive the gifts that were given to the church? Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and so forth. God is not going to stray from the confines of Scripture. He will keep hold to the truth of his word and keep organization and structure following until the day Jesus comes. What is the purpose of prophecy? To build up the church of God. Prophecy is not for unbelievers. Counsel to the church is not for the unbelievers. It's for the people of God, his church. You see, friends, God loves his church with desperation. And he says, I will speak through somebody who will speak to the church, and thus speak to the church and give them direction and guidance. They are never to overrule the standard of Scripture, but to point to Scripture, to point to Jesus as the standard. I believe that God has followed this procedure since day one when God called Abraham a prophet. I believe that God used Moses, a prophet, when the church needed it. And friends, as we begin to close and begin to step on the brink of eternity's doors, more than ever when we see chaos and when we see things happening left and right, God wants to keep organization and structure with his remnant people. God is still going to communicate to his people. Yes, by the word of God, but he's going to continue with the institution of his church, his remnant people, by utilizing the gifts that God gave us in the book of Ephesians until he says, we come into a perfect faith, until we come into unity of Christ. Until that day happens, friends, until Jesus comes, these works will continue to be a reward and a blessing to God's people. When we get to heaven, will there be any more need of prophecy? Yes or no? No. Why? Because we're there. We can talk to God face to face. You see? And so, friends, these are for the purpose of bringing the body of Christ into obedience, not only to his word, but to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Counsels have been given. Desire of Ages, powerful book. You want a power-packed book that just teaches and talks about Jesus? Desire of Ages is a powerful book. Steps to Christ. You want to know how to get a closer walk with Jesus? That book points you back to the Bible. Look at the Bible. Study your word. It's a commentary of scriptures of how to come closer to Jesus and how to continue in your walk with Christ. Powerful things. The book, The Great Controversy, written for the end time church. to prepare for the second coming of Jesus, the signs of what we need to look for, a major compilation of Bible study to encourage God's people as they prepare on the brink of eternity. These writings, the counsels to the church, to edify the church. Be strong, be courageous. Don't wander into these little side pockets of legalism. Don't wander into these little side pockets of being too liberal. In other words, keep the balance in the Christian life. Be careful, brother, sister, elder. Be careful how you treat the body of Christ. Be careful how you deal with certain situations and problems in the church. To edify and to uplift the church. And the standard, I believe, is to uphold the Scripture and the Scripture alone. Friends, I can't force you to say, hey, you have to accept the writings and believe in Ellen G. White. I can't force you to do that. It's not a test for you, but it's a challenge for us. Will we hear the word of God in all places of Scripture, including his prophets that may be speaking to the end of time? There is going to come a day, and I believe this, friends, that God will raise up the prophetic work again, not necessarily in the same confines as he has used Ellen White, but in simplicity that prepare because Jesus is coming again. There will be people that will prophesy that Christ is here. Christ is coming. But they will point them back to Scripture saying, read the word and proclaim the word of truth that the time is at hand. What does he say? Your young daughters, don't despise it. Why? Because we know that it's going to happen. God's people will wake up and they will begin to do this work of prophecy like never before. So we have to hold the standard of Scripture. We have to challenge them. I can't force you, again, to believe in Ellen White or say she's a prophet for you in your life. But I want you to take, if you will, the challenge that God does have a prophet in his church until he comes again. Why? Because God gave those gifts to the church. Jesus is appealing to you more than ever, friends. We are living in a last day. We need all the help that we can get. Amen? We need all the help that we can get. I don't know about you, but I want to walk closer to Jesus. I want to put my hand in his hand, and I want to walk with him safely to the streets of gold. And I believe that through the inspiration of Scripture, Jesus has made that way plain and possible. And some people would say, well, then if the Scripture is plain and possible, then why do we need Ellen White? She said if men and women were studying the Word of God like they never had, they would not necessarily need this work. Because the word of God would be their faithfulness and God would speak liberally to his people. Very paraphrased, but the point's there. Friends, we've got to be a people of the word. We can't let others do our thinking for us. We cannot others leading us to salvation. We must, by example and precept, spend the time in God's word and know whether or not we have a salvific relationship with Christ. God gives us warnings and instructions to prepare his people. Because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, friends. And I don't want to be left in darkness. And I'm so thankful that God continues even till the last day to communicate with his body of believers. That's one of the signs. There will be a prophet in his church. So let you challenge that. Let you mull over it. It's up to you what you do with this information today. I can't force you to accept it. I can't force you to believe it. But I hope that you would challenge it by the word of God. And I hope that you will take those writings and read them, and maybe they'd be a source of encouragement. God said, do not despise. Why? Because they will encourage and they will strengthen the body of Christ. Can we stand together as we pray, and then we'll sing our closing hymn? Let's pray together today. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the word of prophecy. I thank you for the truth of the Bible. I thank you that you have given the Bible to your people. Some have looked on the Adventist church as an occult because Ellen White, they say, is their leader. Never once, Lord, do I have ever read in her writings that she is to be above the Bible. Never once have I seen God's people really fall down and worship her. Oh, Lord, there's people that made mistakes in the past and they've taken her writings and utilized them for their benefit to hurt others or to tighten down the clamps in their personal life. But I think the balance that she is presenting and has given to the church was, go back to the Bible. Study the Word of God. Lord, it's a challenge because now we can go to the internet now and so filled with information today. We can go there and type in Ellen White, and Lord, there's going to be all kinds of stuff that says false prophet and antichrist power, all these things. But Lord, we have to open the Bible and